This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Monday, November 12, 2007. I'm Caleb Brown. The Farm Bill is the ultimate example of concentrated benefits and diffuse costs, says Cato Institute trade policy analyst Sally James. Farm subsidies, she argues, are hard to justify on their merits, and even harder to justify when they go to massive corporate farms.
Things are so great in farm country that the income is, this year, their net farm income is projected to increase by about 44%. The debt to asset ratio is the lowest it's ever been. Commodity prices are very high by historical standards. And there is a huge, on the other side, a groundswell of support for reforming these farm programs, and not just by the usual suspects such as the Cato Institute, but Oxfam America, Bread for the World, which is like a anti-hunger, anti-poverty, religious-based group, environmental groups are all pointing out the problems with these farm programs and why they should be reformed. And it's just very, very frustrating that so far politicians have not been able to take the leadership and to show it by standing up to farm constituencies, farm lobby groups that are just so, so powerful. And it really does beg the question, what would it take for those interests to be overridden and for reform to occur?
U.S. Senator Ben Nelson is co-sponsoring a measure that would limit some federal subsidies available to farmers. He says mega farms should not receive mega payments. Senators Byron Dorgan and Charles Grassley introduced the amendment that would limit a married couple to $250,000 in subsidies per year. Current law allows $360,000 annually. Could you evaluate that proposal?
The proposal, in principle, is a good one, and that is that so many of these, the commodity payments, that's the payments that go to farmers based on what they grow. So it's not things like environmental payments, but the actual commodity payments go to the largest farms usually. They're not the struggling family farm. They're either very large commercial farms or they're family farms that are big enough to really survive and not need subsidies. So that's part of the problem that with these subsidies is the gross inequity of them. So what the senators are trying to do is to limit, as you say, the amount that any one farm, whether it's a single or a couple farming, can receive in commodity payments. Now that is, as I said, in principle, a great idea. The problem I have with it is, first of all, the payment limit is not, in my mind, severe enough. I'd like to see the payment limit be zero. And the other problem is what they're proposing to do with the money that they save, and it will save about $500 million over 5 years, so it's a significant amount. They're proposing to shift those funds to other programs and to keep it within, if you like, the scope of the farm bill at writ large. So in other words, they're going to give money to farmers markets promotion and micro business development in rural areas. So they're really not giving that money back to the proper owners of it, which is the taxpayers. They're just spreading that around a little bit more. So while in principle it's a good idea, I don't think it goes anywhere near far enough for what taxpayers and consumers deserve.
It's very easy to see the benefits of these payments. These are farmers. Somehow they benefit from large cash payments. It's not so easy to see the damage that is done through these distortions on the farm economy.
Right. I mean, this is a classic case of diffuse costs and concentrated benefits. That's exactly what we're seeing here. It's a great example of it, actually, for students of political economy. It doesn't make very encouraging reading. There's a study, but it's certainly a good example of this problem. First of all, as you say, we've got the taxpayers. It's up to $21 billion a year. The new farm bill that the House passed and the Senate looks like passing, it's about $300 billion over 5 years. That includes nutrition programs and environmental programs, as well as those commodity subsidies that I spoke about. But it's still a significant amount of money. Consumers also pay because products such as dairy and sugar are supported not so much by taxpayer kind of welfare payments, but by isolating the domestic market, keeping prices high. And that's about $146 per annum each household. That's not a lot, really, when you think about it. And in fact, proponents of farm subsidies, farm lobby groups, will often use the rhetoric of it's just pennies a day and look how much cheap food you get. You know, I think that's rubbish for two reasons. First of all, yes, it is pennies a day per person, but it all adds up. Pennies a day spread over 300 million consumers and taxpayers is still pennies a day, and it adds up. The other problem with that comment is it implies that without those pennies a day, we'd all be starving. I don't think that's true, especially because a lot of commodities, fruit and vegetables, for example, don't get any subsidies as well, and yet we don't see shortages of those products. So I think it's a false argument, but they are able to use it successfully, apparently, because the bills keep getting passed. And it's just a great example of where if you spread the cost thinly enough and widely enough, you can funnel a large amount of money to a very small proportion of people in America. And these farmers represent less than 2% of the population here, and they're getting a lot of money.
Sally James is a trade policy analyst at the Cato Institute. This is the Cato Daily Podcast. More podcasts are available at cato.org.